CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Tuesday morning, it is the last day of June. Well, we are joined by our full Tuesday cast, including Pumi Mashiko, Sia Sangweni, and Bulelo Tinta, and Fundo's running things in the studio for us. We're all appropriately socially distanced, and we're ready to spend some socially distanced time with you.
And in pants.
And in pants. I'm wearing pants. I hope you're wearing pants, everybody. Are you wearing pants? Pumelele. Don't avoid the question.
I can neither confirm or deny.
I'm wearing lipstick.
You're wearing lipstick and pants. Wow. Okay. Now that's impressive. Very impressive. All right. So here we are. We're live. We're ready to take you through your Tuesday. There are so many things on the agenda, but I thought we've got to sweep them all aside in the interest of community service, because really we have a big situation to deal with this morning.
Unfolding.
Yeah, it's a developing story, okay? Sia Sangweni says to us while we're getting ready for the show this morning, he goes, I need something to hang in my lounge. I need to put up a picture. So I immediately jump to conclusions, but I will forego that heinous option and rather wait for him to explain himself. He needs advice from everybody, and I thought, well, what else is the show for, really?
Thank you for the help desk.
Yeah, so we decided we'd all, you know, climb on board and let Sia explain his quandary to us, and we can maybe help him with some suggestions and solutions.
And everybody will be surprised to know that he is not going for the option as he would the parrot that he is of a mirror.
For the past couple of months, I think a lot of people can relate. When they first move out of home, they get anything they can get in terms of furniture and filling a space up,
You just need stuff so it doesn't look like you only moved in yesterday.
Exactly.
But it's not always the stuff that you like. And then as you start to live in a space, you figure out what you need around you. And you
invest in nice pieces.
Right. You make your house yours.
Yes. So that's what I've been doing for the past couple of months, just, you know, changing things up a bit. And now I'm starting to have the place that I really enjoy. And so my lounge is almost complete. I have new, what I like to call shishi poo poo couches.
What are those?
They're nice and sleek and long and low. They're dark gray, and they have these nice straight lines. Look at me sounding like I know what I'm talking about.
You do. This is your house. You see, the nice thing about all this kind of thing is it's totally up to you. It's got nothing to do with anyone else. And by the way, lockdown has made a lot of us a little bit more aware of our space, right?
So true.
Suddenly you're like, oh, shit, I've got a horrible room there. I've really got to do something about that when I have money again.
Who always knew that pink was so atrocious?
Yeah. We could have told you that from a mile away.
Like, always, somebody decided that the most neutral color to have when you're renting out your place is that awful, like, pinkish thing that's not...
Really?
Yeah, it's not white or cream, because nobody wants white walls, right?
No.
So they stay clear of white walls. But they also don't want kind of cream walls, because like tenants will make it dirty or whatever. But you also don't want dark walls. Those are too specific. So they end up going for this like weird
pink. I haven't seen a lot of that pink, but that sounds gross. All right, so Sia, what's the plan?
Anyway,
So now I was looking at my walls over the past couple of days, and they look very bare. And I think I need a statement piece to hang on my wall.
Uh-huh.
And I think it is my place.
Uh-huh.
I've spoken to my roommate. My roommate doesn't mind. I think I need to blow up a picture of myself and hang it there.
Like Ron Burgundy.
Like Ron Burgundy.
I really don't think it's a bad thing at all. I love photographs. And who knows? I can't really bet on some people in my life. You know, you never know with relationships. I could disown one of my sisters tomorrow. So I can't risk getting a massive photo of them. And then they have to go.
But what is massive? What is the size of this blown up photograph?
Yeah.
Sia, have you ever seen the movie Dodgeball?
No.
So Ben Stiller has this massive painting of himself taking the bull by the horns, quite literally, but it's the size of a gym wall. So maybe you could...
Listen, guys, I think you think I will do a specific photo shoot as I lie naked and I just only am covered by, fur. No.
Reclining on the Gigi poo-poo couches.
Are you not? Is that not the plan? Is that not what you're going to do?
It's not out of the plan, but you know. No, I'm just always a person. I have so many photos. Thinking about it, I have 3 different photos of myself just on my desk here. So I'm not a person who's shy of this. I think this is normal.
No one's surprised.
I am very shocked that you guys think this is a problem.
Okay, but tell me the size.
No.
Tell me the size.
Hold on. We're all laughing at you, but we're not saying it's a problem.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I wanted to run the length of the couch.
Wow.
Yes. Is this a problem?
Couch.
No, I do not think this is dramatic or weird at all.
So who's it a statement for? For you or for when your fabulous friends come around? Because there's 2 things that I'm hearing.
I don't even think...
Because you said you need a statement piece.
Yeah, it is a statement for everyone. It is stunning. It will stop you in your tracks. It is something that will lift the space up and tie everything together. Like, if you are not your own number one cheerleader in life, then how are you going to expect the world to work out for you?
So have you looked at some of the images you do have and thought, this would be perfect? And what is happening in that image?
Well, I love an ocean. So
it's going to be sea
by the sea.
Yeah, jumping around in the water of the Indian Ocean. That's what it's going to be.
See ya by the sea.
I swear. So I think that's the way to go.
I got this from somebody who's listening to us right now and listening to you. Brad says, Sia, instead of making some horrible thing, go to unsungart.co.za. They're doing great work for South African artists and offer free shipping countrywide.
Oh.
So thanks for that, Brad.
Unsung artists.
Unsungart.co.za.
Art.
That's very good. And then I got this from yesterday, which I just thought I'd pick up on. this is really interesting because Sia was talking about how he'd like to die yesterday.
which sounds
depressing, but it was great. So Snayi says, what a great show today. I can't stop laughing. Leanne is so much fun. Sia, when you're ready to pick up your coffin, give me a call. My mom is an undertaker and she's not too far from Durban. Right?
Shit, this got real.
You know, Sia, this whole idea of having a self-portrait in your house, you and all your grandeur, it's very dictator art, eh? It's very... It's very Saddam Hussein.
Robert Mugabe. Public office buildings.
Yes.
President Titi Mabuza. Minister, Deputy Minister.
If that is a trait of being a dictator and losing it, then count me out of that. No, I really just think, I have no problem with the way that I look. Look, I've missed my deadline by 2 years. I always said that I will do a nude photo shoot by the age of 23. Just to encapsulate,
what you have going on. You've always said that to who?
To myself.
Who have you always said it?
It's the internal dialogue. Don't you get it?
Yeah, that's not always saying it.
Well, I've always believed it. So, okay, I'll check out Unsung Art. Look, if there is, I don't have millions and millions of rands. If there's a nice young local artist who does great stuff, perhaps I'll consider that. But if not, if I don't find anything, well, Bob's your uncle and my reflection is my friend. I'll print out a photo and hang it up there.
Well, you get they can actually print the photo on canvas so it looks like a painting. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, who cares about the Mona Lisa right now?
I saw this thing on Instagram the other day where they do a portrait of you, but they make it look like a royal portrait, and this is right up Sia's alley. I mean, they'll put you in like a uniform, or with a crown on or whatever.
And
yes, now that's what you want. I know that's what you really want.
With the fur cape.
Yes.
Ooh,
that's what Sia really wants. So
yeah,
I think that's the one to go for, Sia. Let's not mess around.
Don't muck about. I'm with you. If you want to go full douchebag and it's not of you, get yourself the Trechkov, the blue girl or the blue woman, the Chinese girl, the very famous. That's like the douchey, I don't know, art. But just in case someone rich comes around, bang, pop, I've got that going.
Yes.
So you can go that way. Just some thoughts.
Beautiful.
There's no bad ideas in brainstorming.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how to take that, but I'll say thank you.
Yeah, he's not being horrible. He's just giving you options.
Are you guys not picture people and having yourself up around the house?
I don't have. I've got one picture of me. I've got photographs of where I'm in pictures with other people, for example. But I've got one picture that someone painted for me. A fan of the show, I suppose, painted for me, and it's in the bathroom. But I'll keep that in. I'm not going to put it in the rest of the house. No, I mean, I don't want pictures of myself up.
That's weird.
I have an entire wall of everyone, of different pictures with
that's
everyone.
Nice.
Like my grandparents.
That's great.
My parents, an entire wall. And then it has a mirror. See, a mirror will always, because a mirror is like a photograph of yourself. And
I have enough mirrors.
Every day. I know you do.
My appliances are even reflective. Like,
oh my god! Speaking of appliances, like Pumi asked a really interesting question the other day, and we never got to it about how when you throw something out, like let's say an old washing machine or something, how long do you hold on to it before you actually throw it out? Because you keep saying to yourself, "Oh, I'll have that fixed." You know, it could be my backup, or I'm sure it won't cost that much to fix it, and then you keep it for God knows how long, and it never gets fixed. You know what I'm talking about, right, Pums?
Dude, and you also
I've got one in my garage now.
Do you just throw it in the bin?
No.
Do you just, like, leave it next to the... What do you do with it? Like, do you, like, put it next to the bin and the people that collect the rubbish collect it also? Mulelo, what is that smirk?
No, because there's tip... that's called tipping. So what there is there's disposal places for things like this.
Yeah.
There are depots. So what you're doing is called tipping. Flight tipping, they call it.
Never heard of that before.
All right, so you're not meant to do that stuff, right?
No, you're not.
Yeah, you can't just leave your shit outside and someone will take it away.
You know, there was that episode of Insecure, like in the early seasons, that season 1 or 2, when they got a new couch and they just put the old couch outside on the curb with the hope that somebody would, like, who needed a couch, you know, some young Sia who hasn't yet got their own new couch can just take that couch.
Take it, yeah.
But I know a lot of people who sit around with things. Right now in our garage at home, I know there's a washing machine that it's always one day. My mother hopes one day we'll fix it because, you know, it's not that old, just one day, even though we now have a new one.
Yeah. And it just sits there, gathering dust.
Hoarding.
Yeah, you need to get rid of these things. It really doesn't help you, and it takes up space, and someone else could use it probably. Someone else could fix it. You're not going to. You're using a new one. You don't care.
And like,
you know what? Throwing it away is when you have to admit to yourself that actually, no, I'm not going to get to it. I'm lazy. It's not important to me. And that's what a lot of us don't want to do. We don't want to admit that.
Definitely not.
And yeah, it's my always mom and the small things, like a kettle. Like, it's a kettle. So you buy a new one and then you're like, I can fix this one and then I'll have a backup kettle. Like, why would you need a backup kettle?
You were going to say something about your mom?
is we had to have a very uncomfortable conversation because she's had to downsize. Uh-huh. There's no more kids in the house, and
right.
she's gone from living in sizable to a two-bedroom place. Like,
yeah.
it's just her. But she's got stuff. And yeah. I'm the opposite. I'm like minimalist.
Yeah, you actually
get out.
I mean, I was while we were talking about Sia's self-portrait that he's definitely going to hang in his house, I was thinking about you, and you are like the opposite. You don't want to nest. You like to have mobility and freedom, and you're actually not that interested in like creating a haven.
So about 4 years ago, I made a decision, and I'm trying to work towards having enough stuff to fit in a duffel bag, and that's my life's stuff. I don't want any more than that. So to hear what Sia's got to say, and Sia and my mom would probably fill up, I don't know, the New York Museum with stuff.
Like, how big would that duffel bag be? So, like, in dimensions?
I don't know. But it's a classic big duffel bag. You know, the big duffel bag you're thinking of. So, if you're thinking North Face, I've got a Burton one. Yeah.
No.
So sizable, but I don't need stuff. It's like people are hiding behind their stuff. I need more stuff, and I'm safe.
No, some of us like to have our things around us. Like I'm like that, and I'm not as much into travel as you are, right? I like being at home, which is why I haven't hated lockdown, despite my protestations about the economy and everything else, which I am concerned about. But personally, I'm very happy because the lockdown has kept me at home, and I'm like Sia when he was talking about how he likes to have nice things around him, and I think that's the point. I mean, if you got to live elegantly if you're going to live, and so for me, I would rather have nice surroundings that make me happy because I'm spending a lot of time in them. And now during lockdown, people like me going, I told you so.
Sure. I think if things are functional, you must have the best.
But I get what you're saying. I mean, like, it makes so much sense to not have a whole lot of material possessions around you. First of all, they do slow you down. Second of all, they cost a fortune. And what do you get out of them actually on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think people hide behind their stuff. This is not an insult to anybody who does like their stuff. It's like, if I have nice stuff and it comforts me, I'm safe. It's right. like, oh, they can't hurt me here, which is where I like the get me out there.
Who's they?
I want mobility.
Who's they?
Then how do
whoever
you
it is
live?
That has stuff.
I'm so confused. I use a duffel bag when I used to go to the office and know that I have an event or a meeting or a lunch that I have to go to afterwards as well. That's what a duffel bag is for.
No.
Not living out of.
What?
From Bolelo, it's more than that.
Yeah. I'm getting there. I'm going to
give you
slowly.
My prayers tonight.
No, you know, different strokes, huh?
Absolutely.
Like everybody has their thing.
Types.
And in this case, Bulelo's like, he prefers being able to pick it up and go and change his mind. And I mean, he decided to move up to Johannesburg for this job. And he left it all behind.
Yeah. I do not want to be tied down, especially whilst I've got some sort of vitality and virality about me.
Yeah, sure.
Whilst I have it, I want to move, man. Like my mom always says, you're not a tree. Don't get stuck anywhere. You got to move.
Oh,
I don't want to be stagnant.
I'm with you. I like that.
So a guy I know, in fact, Gareth, I think you might know him too, who moved to Israel when he retired some years ago. Their community where he lives, there was a barrier. And about 80, you know, like there was in Nizhna, so about 80% of the houses essentially just burned down.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and
God.
He's an old guy. He and his wife, they're in their, 70s or so.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire has burned everything.
Oh, my God.
They had. So all of that stuff, all of their pictures, all of their books, all of those things in the fire, gone.
Oh, my. Can you imagine everything? And those are things that, if you say they're older people, they've collected them their whole life. You know,
over a lifetime.
Oh, man.
And that was, it was hectic for me to think about when I heard that. It was so hectic.
Oh, that's
because
horrible.
It's one of the things I was thinking about yesterday, listening to Sia talking about his ideal checking out.
Yeah, his whole plan for his death.
is about that. It's about the stuff that's left behind. So yeah. when you check out, it's the stuff that's left behind. That's left behind for the people around you who will miss you. But also just the stuff that when people leave you, that you take forward with you was also quite a thing, you know. So Mulelo, your duffel bag, there'll be nothing sentimental in there for anybody that's left behind for you.
Sentiment is nothing to me.
Wow. It's not about you, it's about the people
he
left
just
behind.
Crapped on our
well, I mean, it's always partly about me.
She is so upset about this.
Wow.
Yeah, sentiment is meaningless to me. There is nothing for me in sentiment. It's purely, we've created that. You can't, they aren't animate objects. Like your chain from your grandmother can't feel. You impose yourself onto the chain.
Yeah, I know, but my God, don't you have any like connection to these kinds of things? None at all?
No, because I can get new stuff. Like I can't get a new mom. I'm sentimentally attached to her.
Yeah.
But I can get a new chain. I can get a new kettle. I can get a new whatever you tell me that's an inanimate object. I can get another one.
But this is what takes it a step further with you. You judge people who do that.
Quite correct.
And don't deny it. Thank you. I'm so glad. So,
here we go.
You judge it.
Oh,
I do.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well,
and I avoid them.
I reckon let's take this lockdown period as a good time to clear out the crap. And you can throw out stuff, right, Pumi? I mean, it actually feels quite good once you do.
Absolutely. I also have a drawer. You know that drawer that collects stuff? The
yes.
drawer that has everything in it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have totally been spending a good 3 weeks in this lockdown going, I'm just going to take the whole drawer out and just tip it into the bin. I don't even want to look. I don't even want to know what's in it. I'm just going to throw everything out.
You could find old car keys that you thought you'd lost.
I don't care.
Why did my heart instantly start beating faster when you said that? I even feel uneasy and it's not my drawer.
The truth of the matter is that drawer. Hmm. So you put the thing in there and you never open that drawer looking for that thing ever again. It's just like, it's definitely, and this is what got me thinking about how long I should probably be like throwing everything out of that drawer once a year. Just now, to put into the bin.
No, my drawers have graduated. I can't.
Like a protestation.
It was actually Greg's wife who works with us. It was Nat who first put me up to this a couple of years ago. She introduced me to one of those massive plastic warehouse stores. And once I went to them, I thought, this is it. So now I bought a couple of those massive trunks. And they're literally just the parent version of the drawer.
Full of rubbish.
I have two of those now.
And you keep a whole lot of shit in there, right? That you probably aren't going to unpack anytime soon.
But I don't want to let them go.
Yeah, I'm the same. I wish I could. I do go through these phases where I clean out and I throw out a whole lot of crap. But I wish I was more disciplined about it. I wish I could just tip the whole drawer in. I can't do that. It's not in me. I'm the opposite of Bulelo in that respect. Sorry.
What makes you uneasy about that?
Well, I'm always worried that I'm throwing away something that might mean something. And I do get sentimental about these things. And I keep records of stuff. Like, I've got archives of all the stuff I've done and, you know, interesting letters I've written to people that I didn't send. And I keep all that shit because I'm a student of history. And I know that one day, if anyone is ever interested, not that anyone's going to be interested in me, but they'll find enough evidence of how I thought and what I thought and, you know, those kinds of things. So,
you're like Samuel Pepys.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I used to read his stuff, actually, about the reign of King Charles II, and it's very interesting. Like, I feel like the world is richer for stuff like that. And clearly it's not for everybody. I mean, I don't for a minute believe, like, I'm the most interesting person that's ever lived. But I do think that there are some things that would be curious, even to my nephews, you know. Maybe one day they'd want to look through the stuff and go, oh, well, that was interesting. That was cool. That I like.
Yeah, okay. There's nothing weird there that you're keeping, like, your nephew's first tooth.
No. I don't do that.
You know, a lot of parents do that, and the first lock of hair and the
there's
umbilical
there's
cord.
Oh my God, there's some weirdos out there. That's for sure. Totally weird. No, I'm not into any of that weird shit. But I think it's kind of important to have a record, even if it's just for you.
Yeah, look, I mean, I hear Mulelo's, we imbue sentiment onto inanimate things.
Yeah.
But what it's about, too, is it's about a family connections as well. It's about beyond just
Absolutely.
You. So it's nice to, I have a, from my great-great-grandmother, one of the furniture pieces I have here at my house was, you know, so that stuff is cool.
Sentimental.
And it's nice to know that there were other people that came before you that are like you.
Right. I like that stuff. And I know it sounds like all kind of traditional and boring to some people, but that I love that shit. That's interesting. That stuff
Absolutely.
Is, and especially if you do have things that are of, you know, kind of family sentimental value. Like, I know that my brother and sister don't give a shit about that stuff. I'm going to have to inherit and look after all that stuff because whatever, they don't care. They honestly don't. Like, my brother could not care less. My sister's probably not that interested. But there are paintings my grandmother did that I definitely want to keep and that I'd put up somewhere. And
you know,
those
nice.
Kinds. Yeah, that's cool.
So what you're speaking about is really important. A couple of years ago, I'm not sure if I've spoken about this, I got a neuroscientist to help me with sleep.
Oh, yeah?
And she Ooh. Revealed something really interesting to me.
Yeah?
She said, when we imagine the future, the brain activity is in the same place that we imagine the past in, which I hadn't heard before. So this is very important that in order to, I mean, there's always the old adage, in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
But that's tacitly real in your neurological hardware.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with what you guys are saying in that sense, which is why storytelling and things like that to me are becoming more important. So I'm asking my mom more things about my grandfather.
Yeah.
Because it helps me understand. But I love to hear it in the story sense rather than it's in a diary. So perhaps we're doing the same thing just in a different way.
Does that then, Gareth, you say your brother and your sister don't keep the. Does that then make you your family's history keeper? Are you the person?
I think I am. I think I am.
Because, and I promise you, this was all because of Sia yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Is I kind of also thought, what happens when all the old people, when we become the old people in our families?
Right.
Do we have, and I wondered if, like, I know in my family, my dad is that person. He's the person that knows all the old people, who they were, how the family tree is organized.
Right.
And because of the time that I've spent kind of just chatting with him and getting all of that kind of history too, I suppose when my dad is gone, I will be
it's
that family memory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And there's more to family memory, right? Because there's also, with us and our cultures, there are also traditions.
Yeah.
And there are rituals. And
right.
there are many that go with who we are. So when you get married, when you have new children, how you know, so in the same way that you have christenings and the namings of children and all of that kind of stuff, those things are just as important. And I wondered if we have enough of that thread being passed down in families, and also wondered what happens in white people's families, you know? Are there those kinds of traditions and rituals, and who in our generation are we cognizant of it, and do we keep it?
Well, I'm sure there are black families that don't care about that stuff, just like there are white families that don't care about that stuff. It's
like me.
Yeah, it doesn't apply across the board. So, I mean, I know, you know, some people who are just, they couldn't care less about where they come from, and they want to forget about that as quickly as possible. And then there are people who think it's massively important and it's part of who they are, and they like to think about those things.
But they don't have to be deep. I think the thing about tradition, rituals, and family traditions and rituals don't have to be deep. They just have to be something that happens in your family.
Yeah.
Other people, it's the way that you celebrate each other's birthdays, or the way that you celebrate the school holidays. It really doesn't have to be something as deep as a family lineage recital.
Sure. Although I've been to black weddings where they do recite their entire genealogy, and I find that magnificent. Like, as a history guy, you know, that to me is just beautiful. I was at a wedding not so long ago, and the guy was like reciting every detail of his family ancestry, and I just thought, wow, that's magnificent.
Wow.
Mm.
He went all the way back to like the 1600s.
So, yeah, that's what my dad does.
Yeah,
family, that's what my dad does.
I love that. Love it.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, so good to know. It's nice to know that stuff, you know.
I just had that shared by my father as a Google Drive file.
Oh, really?
I now know the closer side of my family. We're busy putting together my mom's side of the family. So I do find those kind of things interesting, because they're important, so I know what I am for me,
absolutely,
in a practical sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got to know this stuff. I think it fills you up in places you didn't know needed filling.
Mm. You know, and it's like when a person passes and they read their obituary, mm-hmm, all of that stuff is part of that. You know, it's part of the who you are, where you came from, and the many travels, Mbulelo, that you go on, all of those things. Somebody must remember.
Yeah, remembering.
See, I think this is when I'm a little like Mbulelo. When it comes to death and history and legacy, I'm not too attached to that. And maybe I'll change with age. And I think, you know, as I grow older and I see more generations popping up below me. But when it comes to death, I'm like, nah. Look, I love the framed photo that I'll have in the lounge of myself, and I'll appreciate that now while I'm around. What will happen when I'm gone? Who will think about it? Who will, you know, appreciate it? I don't care. Is that weird?
No, that's quite normal. All right, do you want to do some headlines? Because we could talk about this shit all day, but we do have things to do.
We have been so late with headlines over the past couple of days.
It's ridiculous. All right, so let's get to it. I'm feeling guilty. All right, so the five things you need to know today. First of all, from ENCA this morning, Prasa's trains are expected to resume operations with limited capacity. Prasa trains are going to start from Wednesday after 3 months of lockdown. The trains will be transporting people at 15% capacity. I don't know how they're going to manage that. You know, it's very hard. Like, you're going to have, what, you're going to turn away some old lady because she's number 20 out of, you know, the 19 people you're allowing onto the plane. I mean, onto the train. It's just, it seems to me like it gets a bit messy. Yes. Prasa spokesperson Makwasini Mgitwa said that people should consider other modes of transport, not just trains. Well, some people can't, Makwasini, but okay. Apparently, unprecedented levels of vandalism have affected Prasa's ability to deliver services effectively. That is just one of the most upsetting things, is that people who need this transport the most are put in a position where, because of vandalism, they can't even use the one thing that they need. It's crazy. It makes me so unhappy. Gauteng residents are going to pay more for hospital and ambulance services from the 1st of July, in case you didn't have enough financial troubles. You want to know about this? An annual adjustment fee of 4.9% has been approved for services payable to patients at Gauteng hospitals, mortuaries, and ambulances. These amended regulations were presented by the Gauteng Department of Health for approval and will come into effect on Wednesday. I suppose things go up in price, right?
I didn't even know we were in that much.
It's funny, these are not things that you think about and what they cost until you need them. It's only when you need them that you think about hospitals, ambulances, mortuaries, you know? So there's something to think about too, even though it's in the back of your mind. This is interesting. The city of Cape Town said it had commenced suspension proceedings. The municipality added Raphael Martin would remain in custody and was not reporting for work. The no work, no pay rule applied. Why is this important? Well, because a senior municipal official who was accused of child rape has been remanded in custody. Raphael Martin, who's a sub-council 23 manager, on Monday made a second appearance in the Mitchells Plain Magistrates Court. He's accused of raping a 13-year-old girl and was arrested more than a week ago. How can this guy be in charge of a municipality if he can't even control himself? How? I'm so big on personal responsibility, but I honestly look around and I see a huge number of people who have no idea of personal responsibility. Everything's always someone else's fault. They take things out on children. They have no ability to see that they might have done right or wrong before the court says so. I mean, why does a court have to tell you that raping a 13-year-old is wrong? Why?
You know what I don't get?
Were you raised by wolves?
Clearly, animals. You know, in public service is when people say, oh, no one's perfect. When these guys commit to this job, to whom much is given, much is expected, right?
Yeah.
So don't come with that excuse now and say, oh, they're human. I hear way too much of that. Like, if you're going to be in public service, understand, squeaky clean or you guts to go.
Well, even Mkhonto weSizwe's Military Veterans Association have also distanced themselves from him. He was a former MK member. Since his arrest, the ANC has expressed shock and clarified that he'd not formally been part of the ANC in Mitchell's Plain since 2013. Yet there are people in that community are voting for him.
You see how leadership tames an organization.
Yeah.
Now everybody else is shocked.
Yeah.
The thing, though, Mulelo, is, you know, a lot of us as citizens have relegated the role that we are supposed to play in our municipalities, in our councils, in holding people responsible. So in those roles, unlike at national level, you know, you're much closer to the councillor. You're much closer to the councillor.
Yeah.
You're much closer to those individuals, like your ward chairperson. But because we like our homes and our stuff in our homes and we're nice and comfy and safe, we don't engage those people rigorously. So the kind of people that rise up in those environments are not people that, A, we have given any kind. They were just there. They are the people who just were there. And then when they are there, they just run rings around everybody and nobody's looking until something this heinous comes up. And then suddenly we're all like, who's this guy? Where did he come from?
Right.
Yeah,
it's maddening.
We've abdicated our own responsibility.
It's a brilliant point. And this is why it's so important for us to understand what social contracts, what social compacts are. But instead, we know what Kim Kardashian was wearing last night at Bash.
Yeah.
What, she was wearing something?
I don't.
All right.
Wow.
Here's something interesting. So Popo Molefe was in front of the state capture inquiry. They've got back to work, which is good news. They were starting up again after a COVID-19 lockdown break. And Popo Molefe, who was the former chairperson of the passenger rail agency, PRASA, right? He was on the stand. He says the ANC's top six were well aware of corruption at PRASA in 2015.
Please stop. Before you move on from that headline, Ghana, who's the top six?
Sorry?
Who are those people? Who would those people be?
The top six.
The top six at the time?
Cyril Ramaphosa, Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma, Baleka Mbete, who else was there? Jesse Duarte.
Gwede
Mantashe. And who is the last one? Come on. There's six of them. We've got
Zweli.
Was it Zweli Mkhize? Was he the Treasurer General then? I think you're right,
yeah.
Sia. Okay, so there we go. So they're all still in government.
And they
except
knew.
Except Jacob.
They were briefed.
Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah, they knew.
This 9 wasted years we keep talking about here with our president. Mm-hmm. He was there.
He was there the whole time.
I'm sure he'll be shocked to know he was told.
Shocked.
Very shocked.
He's always shocked, this president of ours.
He needs to get an electrician into his house.
Yeah, exactly. It's time he gets that sorted out. Because if you get shocked all the time, it's eventually going to impact badly on your health.
This is true. Unless you're Mel Gibson in a movie, then you can read women's minds. Not sure it's related, but...
No, it's totally unrelated.
What just happened there?
What women want.
Bolelo had a brain fart.
Yeah, what women want.
Well, Cyril's shocked, I'm sure. But there we go. Molefe pointed out...
Is that the new headline?
No, it's not new. It's a headline, but it's old. He claims good people were being removed from positions in Prasa because they weren't bending to those who were looting the public purse. Surprise, surprise.
Sing, Popo, sing.
Wait, it's contagious. Now I'm shocked.
Are you?
Yeah, the corruption. Oh, I'm shocked.
Horrible. I know. Who would have thought, huh?
Horror.
Who'd have thunk it?
Morena Jesu, wa Jehovah, wa Jerusalem.
Wow. Okay.
Sure. I'm getting all religious on us.
What is going on?
Hallelujah.
All right. Well, one last headline quickly to make your morning a little bit more interesting. This is great news. Palestinians say they're ready for direct talks with Israel. Hooray. This is episode 9726 in the Middle East ongoing saga, which people have mostly stopped watching around the world. The Palestinians are prepared to renew long-stalled peace talks with Israel and agree to minor territorial concessions, according to a counterproposal to a contentious U.S. plan. Brinkmanship doing its work again. So it seems like they're going to get together and talk to each other, which you'd think is the first step to anything. But clearly that's a big ask for people in the Middle East. You know, let's all just get around the table and talk. Oh, no, we can't do that. We hate each other too much. Some bullshit. Okay. Pumi,
do you think our Chief Justice is feeling a little bit, feeling very invested in that talk?
Our Chief Justice said over the weekend that he's a supporter of Israel, which he's entitled to do. I don't know why people are losing their shit about this, because he's a citizen as much as being the Chief Justice. He's also allowed to have personal opinions. And even though judges are discouraged from having personal opinions a lot of the time.
They're not discouraged from having personal opinions.
They're sharing
them. They're discouraged from sharing them because it taints the way that we view them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but...
keep it to himself.
I mean, sure, but I don't mind that he speaks about these things. I would rather know where our Chief Justice stands. You know, I've had problems with him before because he's been very vocal about his Christianity. And, you know, I've always been a little bit nervous about having someone who's a big God man sitting in the court, because they tend to sometimes, the central tenet, one of the central tenets, and I don't want to get into trouble now with Christians, but one of the central tenets of Christianity is that scapegoating is acceptable. You know, Jesus is the scapegoat of humankind, and you unload your sins onto him and you send him off to be sacrificed. And I have a problem with that. Again, personal responsibility. So some of the time I disagree with my Christian friends about how personal responsibility works. And to have a Chief Justice who believes in that kind of thing is maybe a bit of a problem for people like me. But here he is voicing his thoughts about Israel. And just like his thoughts about Christianity, he is entitled as a citizen of South Africa to have them. You go ahead, sir.
Hey.
Even if it
Pandora's box has just been opened.
I know, but it's been open a long time, Mbulelo. Let's not pretend that this is the first time it's been opened. Pums, I wanted to ask you, about this situation with Solly Philander, the guy who he's been on TV for years, and apparently he went to some community center and alleged that there were children being abused there or something. Do you know anything about this?
So, there was... He was tweeting. He was, like, live tweeting about it over the weekend. And it all culminated yesterday with the court appearance. But you know when you're following a tweet thread and you're just going, this is a shit show and it can't be real. Like, you can't write this stuff up.
Wow.
It's a community center that in his community in Cape Town, and there's the gentleman that runs this community center, according to the tweets by Solly Philander, is A, very, very connected politically, and therefore is always kind of wrangling the community into all sorts of the, and he is protecting the community according to him, but according to Sully, this guy is also a pedophile.
Oh wow!
Oh no!
And there is and Sully quoted a 25-year-old boy who has been living in the community center with this man since he was 15. And that boy alleges that he, besides being beguiled by this man, has been in some kind of sexual relationship since then. There is a woman that lives there, and this is where it all begins, is with a woman with a little child, a 3 or 4 year old girl that are living in the community center. This woman is apparently a drug addict herself, and Sully feeling that this child is in danger. And the community have been trying for years, according to Sully, to throw out this man. But because of his political connections, the police arrive, and rather than do anything about him or the allegations against that the community is bringing up against him, are always trying to disperse the community. Mm-hmm. And in fact, according to Sully's tweets, there are some 30 different cases that the man has with various members, against various members of the very community he's trying to serve and protect. Jeez. So it's a very messy story at the best of times. But Sully is a fantastic storyteller.
Yeah.
And as he was tweeting what was going on, and there was a physical fight.
Oh yeah.
With the man's goons and Sully kicking and punching.
Oh really?
He was thrown in jail.
Sully was.
So that's why he had to appear in court for the assault.
For the assault, he was, and the man phoned the police to say that Sully's trying to kill him. There was
imagine Uncle Sully laying punches on you.
I know, the man's over 60, right?
Sully must be furious, though. I mean, to behave, you know, to get like this with some dangerous guy in the community, Sully must be really angry. That community must have had it up to here.
There was a sit-in in the community center with members of the community and some kids from the community. Apparently, there was a feeding scheme that was working through. And according to Sully's tweets, and a lot of other people who then obviously were responding, and people who know of the situation, who know this guy, it does not sound
kosher.
There's no smoke without a fire situation. This here is it. Jeez. And there is serious protection.
I just got to say, like, good for Sully Philander, huh? What a guy. I want people like that in my community.
Oh, my God. He was clear. He was like, this is going down. I'm taking it down to the wire.
He was happy to get into a fight over it.
He's like, this fire no more, not with the children in our community. This man has been allowed to run rampant in this community too long.
Wow.
And we've had it. And he kept tagging various people in the tweets that he was putting out. And he was saying he even spoke to his psychologist about what to do. So prior to this weekend, so I think on Friday night, he tweeted, I've been speaking to my psychologist about how to deal with this situation.
Wow.
And this is how I'm going about it. And according to him and his psychologist, it's not worth going to the police.
That's amazing. What an incredible guy to have in your community. I mean, what does Sully have to, you know, it's not his kid. He just lives in that community. Most people would just turn a blind eye. I mean, most of us do, right? I mean, that's why we have such high levels of abuse of women and children in South Africa, because most people just turn a blind eye. And here you've got Sully Philander, who's doing the right thing. God bless you, man.
And you must know when you like start tweeting in Afrikaans that the man was the Murin. Tweeting in the Afrikaans is...
Good for him. Good for him.
Like, yeah, I'm sorry it had to get that far.
Bulelo, you had to be a douchebag about it, huh?
Oh, sorry.
Get out.
Sorry.
What did you say, Sia? Did you say get out?
Get out. Stand up, man. See where the door is.
But find the thread. Find the thread to get Solly's perspective on what went down. I know News 24 was reporting on his court appearance yesterday. And obviously it is going to be, now that it's Solly involved, and now that
it's a high profile thing.
And he was tweeting that he suspects the man to be part of a child porn ring.
Oh wow. Okay, so it goes deep.
The story gets
what?
It goes deep.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Again, thank goodness there are people in this world who are not just bystanders. They get involved, and Sully is one of those people. I just have the world of respect for people like that. So thank you very much, Sully Philander, for looking after your community. Anybody else who's doing that anywhere in South Africa, I am with you 100%. Beautiful.
I think we need it. I think we need to take back control. Take back control of our communities.
Speaking of these people in our communities who we know are dodgy, Sia told me, just the beginning of a story yesterday, and I wanted to get into this, but we kind of keep deferring. We've got to get to it in the next hour if we can. The apparently there's a guy called Lou Pearlman who was like the boy band guy back in the 1990s and 2000s.
Yeah, we'll need to get into it in the second hour.
And this guy was like the world's biggest con man.
Oh,
he was a total crook. Everybody, I mean, it's crazy. Like NSYNC, the Backstreet Boys, who else did he work with?
He started up some of these boy bands that we, O-Town as well.
Oh, wow.
Some others that didn't get as successful. Let me just put it like this before we get into it in the second hour. NSYNC, after 3 years starting out, and they were big from the get-go, they were paid minimum wage. Because this guy basically was slimy with a contract. Oh, he's a sicker.
So, because I'm not going to be here in the next hour.
Yeah, you have
your mom. Pumi's got to go.
I've told you about this podcast before called Swindled.
Oh, yeah?
They actually have a whole, 57 minute long episode about Lou Pearlman and all the crap he got up to.
Freak.
Yep, the man was a proper douche.
And I don't know why it also it also has to boil down to some seedy sexual things as well. Like there are allegations that this Lou Pearlman guy would have cameras in his tanning bed at home, and all of his boys and young artists would come in and use a tanning bed. I mean,
He kept them all in the house. He kept them all together in one house.
Okay, wait a second. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about here.
Too much.
Ay, ay, ay.
American Dad, before we go, has a returning character.
Yes.
That kind of is a satirical of him.
Of Lou Pearlman?
Yeah. Like every now and then the character comes back as a music producer and it's loosely based on him. And it's outrageous where they take it.
Is he in jail? Is he dead or what?
No, I think he
was
died.
In jail and then he died in jail.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he did go to jail, huh?
At least there's feel a lenger around.
Wow. Sure. Okay, well, we'll find out more about this guy in a little while. Also, your messages and your calls on 079-748-2090. Got lots of those we want to get to too. Let us know what you're up to this morning. CliffCentral.com.
School runs is Pumi.
Yes.
We're going to be listening in the car.
Pums, you're back on the school run.
Dude, with a whole lot of added admin.
Uh-oh.
Dropping off, temperature taking, filling in forms. It's
good luck.
To say the least.
Good
it
luck.
Is interesting.
She's
all right. Well, Pumi will obviously give us a report back next week, but good luck to you, Pums.
Yeah, next week I'll be back in form. I'll have figured out how the new school run, the post COVID school run works.
All right, let's get on with it. CliffCentral.com, it's 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.